Hello, and thanks for joining us for our special Chicago Tonight coverage of the Republican National Convention. I'm Brandis Friedman. Former President Donald Trump's newly minted running mate is set to take the stage in Milwaukee tonight. This as this evening's speakers shift the focus to issues of national security and foreign policy. It's been a decade since a Republican won a statewide election in Illinois, but party leaders say they're working hard to reverse the political tide. Of course, former President Donald Trump and now his running mate, J.D. Vance, will play a role, as will a new state party leader who made a first appearance today since winning that title. Amanda Venicky joins us now from Milwaukee's Pfizer Forum with more. Amanda.
Yes, Brandis, several delegates to the Republican National Convention tell me that they are having the time of their lives. But that's not a huge surprise. If they're here, they are, of course, going to be some of the party's most fervent supporters and that of former President Donald Trump. Outside of this week and being here in Milwaukee, it's tough these days to be a Republican from Illinois. Just ask State Representative Charlie Meyer what it's like to be in the super minority.
Wouldn't it be an amazing thing if we could see Donald Trump actually help Illinois gain seats back? I am one of 40 out of 118. You want to try to run a bill in Springfield that's good for your district? That's not easy when you're one of 40.
As you heard, Meyer is hopeful that Trump is going to help elect more Republicans in Illinois, but he recognizes, he says, that in order for that to happen, members of his party have to recognize that policies and people like Trump that are popular in his part of the state, so in southern Illinois, are not necessarily going to fly in the suburbs where moderates have classically performed better. Now, there's a divide that has long been simmering between conservatives and moderates. Is that longest source of tension in Illinois, but really reaching a fever pitch this year. And these sorts of divisions are actually what chased out the outgoing chair of the Illinois Republican Party in a stinging resignation letter. Don Tracy quit after a self-titled grassroots movement went after him and other party leaders.
But there are some people that seem to want to create divisions within the party, like divisions between the so-called grassroots and the so-called establishment. And there is no such thing, really. It's one party. We need to be one Republican Party. And sure, in the primaries, there's going to be divisions, but it shouldn't be between grassroots and establishment or any of the groups. It should be between the candidates. But once it's over, we unite as one party, not separate divisions.
Tracy says he fully backs his successor, that is attorney Kathy Salvey. She was the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate, lost to incumbent Democrat Tammy Duckworth. In her first public speech since winning the chair's race on Friday, Salvey talked about building bridges.
We are not the party of division and divisiveness. We are the party of hope and optimism and a better Illinois and a better future for America and our children. You do not see us burning buildings and using incendiary language when our president was nearly assassinated, do you?
No.
Now, Salvey says that already she's witnessing the party coalescing around Trump and also watching his delegates to the Republican National Convention who hadn't talked in ages are once again having those conversations. I think that being for hours and hours together on the floor or on a trolley to get around to get to the convention center will do that, and probably aided by some of the after-party beers they may be having. Now, Salvey says that she considers the state party now to be like her seventh child, and she says that as she did with her kids, when they were young and they were fighting, she wants members of the GOP to talk and set aside their differences.
And I think all of us here need to start calling those people out. Listen, I love this party because sometimes we air our dirty laundry with one another and it gets into the press of these fine people. But we need to say, you know, let's give that person the benefit of a new, fresh day. And that's how we will win elections here in Illinois. Let me remind you again, Republican unity wins in 2024.
Still, outgoing Chair Tracy was unable to give a yes or a no answer when I asked him whether the Republicans that need to hear and live that message are at the convention to be able to hear it and to embrace it. Tracy, by the way, well, His final day on the job will be tomorrow for the Donald Trump's big speech. And then Selvey takes over on Friday. She's got a lot of work cut out for her when it comes to fundraising. I guess we could also look at how well the Republican Party does in Illinois by looking at numbers from 4 years ago when we previously had a matchup between now President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump. Of the roughly 6 million Illinoisans who cast votes in the general election of 2020, Trump was 1 million votes behind. Back to you, Brandis.
All right, Amanda, thank you so much. And of course, we'll check back in with you in just a little bit. But first, Chicago police officials made the trip to Milwaukee today to learn more about the safety and security measures in place at the RNC ahead of next month's Democratic National Convention right here in Chicago. WTTW News reporter Matt Masterson joins us now from outside Pabst Brewery. That's where an event is about to start. Matt, what are CPD officials hoping to get out of their visit to the RNC?
Yeah, so police officials came to Milwaukee today. They wanted to get a firsthand look at how authorities here are handling security issues around the convention hall. They're touring protest sites, they're touring operational command centers, and they're also viewing just the concrete barriers and fences that have been up all around the city, restricting access to the convention site. CPD police officers have been in town all week already assisting with security, but officials came today to get a better behind-the-scenes look at how operations are being handled ahead of next month's Democratic National Convention back in Chicago. Here's what CPD Deputy Chief Dwayne DeVries had to tell me about the tour.
The perimeter is very tight. We got checked coming in ourselves, and it's been nice seeing it all, because obviously in a month it's going to be all in Chicago. So it's good to see it here as kind of laid out, because the fencing and a lot of the systems will be the same. It'll just be, in a different neighborhood.
Matt, CPD is also playing a role in RNC security this week. What do we know?
As I said, a few dozen Chicago police officers have been on hand assisting all week. Milwaukee brought in police officers from all over the country to help handle the large crowds, protesters, and of course, security around for the former president and the delegates inside the convention hall themselves. To this point, security and issues in and around the convention hall have been very minimal. Police said there's been very few arrests, very few issues, and they're hopeful that this will continue into next month's convention as well.
Matt, there was also a man who was fatally shot about a mile from the convention hall on Tuesday afternoon. Are there any lessons that CPD is taking away from that incident?
So that shooting involved police officers who were in town from Columbus, Ohio, to help with RNC security. They were outside the convention center site, the security footprint, and they said they intervened when they saw a man with two knives attacking another person. So Chief DeVries told me that outside police coming to Chicago for the Democratic National Convention will be stationed within that security footprint. It's only going to be Chicago police officers who are out handling issues in the community during this convention. He called the shooting an unfortunate situation, but he said officers are trained to intervene when they spot violent crime.
And something we've been spending a lot of time talking about here, how is CPD preparing for the extensive protests that are expected at the DNC next month here in Chicago?
Chicago, of course, is no stranger to protests, both large and small, but CPD officers have been undergoing trainings for months, not only about how to properly handle large crowds, but also de-escalation tactics and ways to protect protesters' First Amendment rights. This is what Chief DeVries had to say about Chicago's plans for next month.
We've been having protests in Chicago every weekend, and they have been peaceful. As a city of Chicago, we won't tolerate criminal activity, vandalism, or violence, but as long as people are peaceful and want to, speak their voices, we have no problem with that.
And of course, Matt, we mentioned that you were out there in front of Pabst Brewery. What is going on there?
Yeah, there's an event here tonight. It's a group of anti-Trump Republicans who are including former Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh, who are speaking at an event here tonight outside of the RNC.
Okay, Matt Masterson there in Milwaukee for us. Thanks so much, Matt. And now we go back inside Pfizer Forum and Amanda with Illinois Republican Congressman Darren LaHood there. Amanda.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us, Representative. To begin with, your colleague, Mary Miller, has just called for the head of the Secret Service to resign in light of the attempted assassination of President Trump. Do you agree, or what questions do you have for the Secret Service?
Well, we just heard on a briefing this afternoon, I serve on the House Intelligence Committee. I'm a former federal prosecutor. It appears now that the Secret Service had information where the shooter was at and didn't take action. I think there's going to continue to be calls for the head of the Secret Service to step down. So the answer is yes, I'm supportive of that, and a lot of other Republicans are too. But more importantly, we got to make sure something like this never happens again. I was on the phone with Speaker Mike Johnson yesterday. We're forming a task force to look into this to make sure this never happens again, but get to the bottom of it and make sure people are held accountable.
What else did you learn in that briefing that you can share?
Well, what we learned is that clearly mistakes were made. Things were not done the right way. To have this individual, the assassin, this close to the president should have never happened. So protocols were not abided by. And what we learned from that is we need to have a bipartisan commission that meets immediately, that has subpoena power, that follows the facts and evidence.
And have you spoken with any of your Democratic colleagues about that?
I have not, but from some of their comments that I've seen publicly, they're supportive of an investigation also.
Now, I know you serve in different chambers, but nonetheless, do you know J.D. Vance, the senator who will now be the vice presidential nominee?
I have met Senator Vance briefly a couple times. I do not know him well.
Thoughts on this is a choice for the president?
Well, listen, I think it's great having a Midwesterner. He is somebody that President Trump has a lot of faith in. What I like about him, he's young, he's 39 years of age, so that shows the distinction between Trump and him, being almost double the age of Vance. Secondly, he comes from very humble beginnings, you know, a very dysfunctional family in a Rust Belt town on the Ohio River. Thirdly, he's a former Marine military guy. He's lived the American dream, right? Went on to Yale Law School, became very successful, wrote a best-selling book. He's got a young, dynamic family. We're going to hear from his wife tonight. Lastly, I love the fact that he speaks to working people. If we're going to win this election, we got to win Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan. He speaks to working people.
Can you imagine doing that job and being potentially in place to be president at the age of 39?
I cannot, but he wouldn't be picked if he wasn't qualified to do it.
Now, I'm curious. Your father, who I also knew and covered when he was in politics, he served he was a Republican, but he served under a Democratic administration as the transportation secretary under President Barack Obama. What are his thoughts about the rise of Trumpism and the turn of the Republican Party in this fashion?
Well, you'd have to ask him about that. I mean, listen, I've been to...
Do you talk about it at family dinners?
Yeah. Well, of course. I'm very close with my mom and dad both. Yeah. And like many families, we don't agree on everything. We don't agree on all politics. I'm much more conservative. I have a much more conservative district. But our Republican Party has changed. Donald Trump is now our nominee for the third time, 2016, 2020, and now 2024. It has evolved and changed. Politics has gotten much more nationalized now, and you see that now reflected in House races, Senate races, and the presidential race. But remember, Donald Trump had 9 people run against him in the primary. He beat them all because the grassroots support him. And I really look at the issues that Donald Trump supports. A strong economy, fixing the southern border, getting energy lowered in our country, energy away from, getting back to energy independence. People are sick and tired of wokeism and cancel culture. Lastly, politics are about the future, not about the past. When you look at the binary decision between Trump and Biden, it's very clear the energy, the enthusiasm, the optimism at this convention with Trump instead of Biden.
So speaking of, there's reporting that now President Biden has COVID, just putting that out there. And of course, as you noted, the path that President Trump has taken to get the party's nomination, vastly different with competition versus the clear path that Biden had until now. Is it better or worse for your party if President Biden is the Democrats' nominee?
Well, I don't want to get into their politics. They're going to have to make that decision. But this race for president changed when 2 monumental things happened. That debate performance 3 weeks ago was a disaster. There's no way to put lipstick on a pig. Democrats are in a free fall right now because of that. And then you look at the events that happened on Saturday. That changed the dynamics. That iconic picture of President Trump saying fight, fight, fight with blood dripping down his face shows strength, shows courage, shows leadership. And I think, that has really set the tone for this convention. We have so much optimism, togetherness, unity. And so I think the Democrats are in deep trouble. But we have to stay focused and disciplined on what we need to do between now and November 5th. But this convention, I think, sets the tone very well for the next 2 months.
Well, thank you so much for your time. Once again, that is U.S. Representative Darren LaHood.
All right, Amanda, thank you. And, of course, our thanks to Representative LaHood as well. We'll see you again in a little bit. And now we go out to reporter Nick Blumberg, who is also in Milwaukee covering the RNC. Nick, you were at the Illinois Republican breakfast this morning. What was on their agenda?
Well, we had a guest speaker who was talking about a big part of the Illinois economy, agriculture. U.S. Congressman G.T. Thompson of Pennsylvania, who's the chair of the House Agriculture Committee, he said that Illinois' farmers are keeping the economy moving and keeping the nation fed. Now, he was joking that he wasn't even going to try to compare the size of the average Pennsylvania farm to the average Illinois farm, saying folks in the Land of Lincoln measure their acreage in five digits. In Pennsylvania, it's just three. Now, Thompson's message was that Trump has to get reelected because the Biden administration has been failing farmers on things like trade policy or overly aggressive climate regulation. Now, that's a problem for him because, as Thompson put it, rural America is essential America. He got a big cosign on those comments from Congresswoman Mary Miller of Illinois. Here's a bit of what they both had to say.
Everybody knows what the EPA is right now, right? It's the Excessive Punishment Agency.
Thank you also for bringing up the communist environmental movement, the Green Bad Deal that Donald Trump has called out as a sham issue. And I want to tell you, as a farmer, we love CO2, and trees and plants love it too. They have demonized the miracle molecule that causes things to grow.
So some pretty fiery words there from Miller and some comments that don't exactly align with the scientific consensus. Her comments were echoed by her husband, State Representative Chris Miller. He says the idea that greenhouse gases are a major contributor to human-caused climate change, warming the planet to unsafe temperatures and creating extreme patterns of weather, he just doesn't think that's true. Miller says we don't have a climate crisis, we have a common sense crisis. He denies the data that scientists use to come to that widespread consensus, saying he's 70 years old, he's got 70 years of data, and he just doesn't see it.
Nick, the focus from the Illinois delegation's guest speaker this morning was on a huge part of the Illinois economy. What was his message?
Well, he was concerned about agriculture and carbon emissions, and we heard the reaction there from the Millers. But some of the other folks in the delegation took a more nuanced stance on things. The Inflation Reduction Act that the Biden administration has put into place, the idea there is a bit more carrot than stick. It's set aside some $20 billion to support what the USDA calls climate-smart agriculture and forestry practices. According to an analysis from the Yale School of the Environment, that got kicked off last year with a total of $3.1 billion in investment to help farmers keep churning out crops while cutting some of the damaging greenhouse gases. So we asked about those issues, about, you know, what the administration's doing, whether climate change is an issue. We talked with Illinois' outgoing Republican Party Chairman Don Tracy. Here's a bit of what he had to say about the issue of climate.
Republicans are environmentalists. Richard Nixon, a Republican president, he gave birth to the EPA. You know, and we recognize there is climate change. There are issues out there. We need to make this a better, cleaner world. But we're not crazy climate change crisis. There is no climate crisis. There are climate issues. They need to be addressed. But we're not crazy environmentalists. We're rational environmentalists.
On a lighter note, Brandis, I already knew that Illinois led the nation in pumpkin production. I learned during Thompson's speech that Illinois also leads the nation in horseradish production. So think of that the next time you're enjoying a nice prime rib. Back to you.
The more you know, Nick. I learn something every day in this job, don't we? All right, thank you. And we're back in a moment with more from the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee with our entire Spotlight Politics team, so stay with us.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Jim and Kay Mabee family, the Polk Brothers Foundation, and the support of these donors.
So while this is the Republican National Convention, it is also a time, as we've discussed, for Illinois Republicans to meet, reset, and look ahead. Here to talk about that and much more is, of course, our Spotlight Politics team. Welcome once again from Milwaukee, Amanda Venicky, Heather Sharone, and Nick Blumberg. We've got the whole gang again. Heather, starting with you. So the Illinois GOP this morning spoke about its ambitions as it works to increase its power in the state. What's the plan?
Well, this was newly elected Chair Kathy Salvi's first chance to speak to the delegation, to speak to party leaders, and to set a new course for the party. And she acknowledged it had been 10 years since the Republicans in Illinois have won a statewide office. Let's listen to what she said.
I would like to ask anybody, when you kind of cross the border into Illinois, you sort of feel a blue funk sometimes. Well, I'll tell you, that blue funk is over. We're going to make Illinois great again.
Let's do it.
Well, she was a little bit light on specifics about what exactly would change, but she pledged to hit the ground running, campaigning, if necessary, door to door to make the case that Republicans would usher in a new wave of prosperity. But she knows that is a big hill to climb, facing fundraising problems and a badly fractured party, as we've been talking about all week.
Nick, we expect to see a lot of the speeches tonight to focus on foreign policy, of course. You spoke with an organization that will be listening to those speeches closely. Tell us about that.
That's right. I spoke earlier today with Matt Brooks, who's the head of the Republican Jewish Coalition. Certainly Brooks and many others are going to be listening for references to policy toward Israel and Hamas, that ongoing conflict there. Brooks said when he had the opportunity to speak at the RNC last night, it was the honor of a lifetime, and it highlighted the difference between the Republican and Democratic parties. Let's take a listen to what he told me.
When I stood up there and I told the room to cheer if they support Israel, and it just was a deafening roar from the crowd, you know, I said that if they tried this at the Democrats' convention in Chicago next month, you know, the person would be booed off the stage. You can't say you're pro-Israel in today's Democratic Party. And I think it's important that the Jewish community know that there is a real difference and that there is one pro-Israel party, and it's the Republican Party.
And, you know, certainly many folks on the left, even the far left, see the Democrats as being far too pro-Israel. They say it is an apartheid state, that they are occupying a territory where Palestinians have historically lived for centuries, thousands of years, and they think the Democratic Party has been funding a war without a moral justification. And I imagine we are going to see a lot of protests to that effect at the DNC. But Brooks wanted to underscore the point that pro-Israel Jews and pro-Israel voters in general have a home within the GOP.
All right. Amanda, Trump's VP pick, J.D. Vance, we know he's expected to speak tonight. And we heard some reaction from Illinois Republicans. Tell us what they thought.
Yeah, some Republicans say they just don't know enough to say much about him, but that they trust Trump to make a quality selection. And then others are already really excited. So let's hear from State Senator Terry Bryant, who says that she has children who are millennials in their 40s and a son included, who says that this is the greatest decision that Trump could have possibly made.
That is a demographic that we really want to focus on, and I think they're going to love J.D. Vance. And again, remember, I come from the part of Illinois that we know is God's country, and in that part of the country, J.D. Vance's story resonates loud and clear. We're very excited about having him.
That is, of course, the exact opposite impression that we got from Governor J.B. Pritzker just the other day when asked about it. And he said that he could go on and on about the reasons that Vance would be bad for the country and believes that he has extremist views, particularly when it comes to an issue near and dear to Pritzker's heart and his political agenda, and that is reproductive rights. So let's hear from what Pritzker had to say about what he believes are Vance's abhorrent views that are going to chase independence away.
He is someone who has very extremist views. As you may know, he is not just anti-choice against reproductive rights, but he also thinks that if you've been raped or have had incest committed against you, that you should be forced to have that child. He is someone who has ridiculed women's rights. You know, there's a pretty long list of very, very extreme views that he holds. And I think, of course, it's in keeping with the MAGA extremism of the broader Republican Party.
So again, he said that this is something that he's not surprised is being embraced by Republicans here at the RNC, but Pritzker believes that this is not a pick that is going to help the ticket for Trump.
Back Amanda, I hear them singing the national anthem there behind you, getting started for the evening's primetime speeches. Obviously, we'll have a lot more discussion on all of that later on tonight at 10. Amanda Venicky, Heather Sharon, Nick Blumberg. Thanks, team. And that is our show for now. Be sure to join us for more live convention coverage tonight at 10 as we break down day 3 of the Republican National Convention. In the meantime, be sure to check out our website for a live blog covering the latest news from the convention. Now for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Brandis Friedman. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy and safe, and we'll see you at 10.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a personal injury law firm dedicated to preserving the dignity and rights of all individuals.